We'll start, Mataji. Once again, I thank each and everyone for joining the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Let us move to our next session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Braj Mohan Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 5.6, 7, and 8. Before handovering the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give the brief introduction about the Prabhuji. You can take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Braj Mohan Prabhu is a monk, a life coach, and an inspirational speaker. Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami and a resident monk at ISKCON Chaupati in India. He is a student's mentor at the Indian Institute of Technology, Bombay, where he also earned a BTech degree. Prabhuji has a Master of Science degree in Quantum Physics from the University of Illinois in Chicago. Braj Mohan Prabhuji has given seminars on science, spirituality, leadership, relationships, and self-development. He has been speaking on various topics at prestigious universities and at several corporations in the US and in India for over a decade. Using ancient wisdom for current dilemmas, his messages inspire the audience to think deep, act right, and live full. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Panam. Please accept our humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving your very valuable time and association to us and enlightening us on this topic. I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Do we sing Jai Radha Madha or do we start with prayers?
You can sing, Prabhuji.
Okay. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Kunja Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari.
Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari.
Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari.
Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Rama, Rama Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare
Hare,
Hare
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज का आचार्य स्तोत्र श्रीमद चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की समवेत गौर भक्त वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल गुरु से संबल डिवोटीज ऑल गुरु से संबल डिवोटीज ऑल गुरु से संबल डिवोटीज ऑल गुरु ऑल गुरु श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर टुडे डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 The Creative Impetus, Chapter 6, The Activities of Rishabhadev, Text Number 7 and 8. So this is in the prose meter, so we won't be able to sing it. So we will read this out and then read the translation. Tasyaha va eva muktalingasya bhagavata rishabhasya yoga maya vasanaya deha इमाम जगति अभिमान भावसेना संक्रममाना कोंकवेंक कुटकान दक्षिण कर्नाटकान देशान यदृच्छयोपगतः कुटकोल कुटकाचलोपवन आस्य कृताश्म कवला उन्माद इव मुक्तमूर्धजो अशंवित एव विचचार तस्य of him, Lord Rishabhadev, hava as it were, evam, thus, Muktalingasya, who had no identification with the gross and subtle body, Bhagavata of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhasya of Lord Rishabhadev, Yogamaya Vasanaya, by the accomplishment of Yogamaya for the purpose of the Lord's pastimes, Deha body, Imam this, Jagatim, earth, Abhimana Abhasina, with the apparent conception of having a body of material elements, Sankramamanaha, traveling, Konka Venka Kutakan, Konka Venka and Kutaka, Dakshina in South India, Karnatakan in the province of Karnata, Deshan all the countries, Yadrichaya of his own accord, Upagataha reached, Kutakachala Upavane, a forest near Kutakachala, Asya within the mouth, Krita Ashma Kavalaha, having put a mouthful of stone, Unmada Iva, just like a madman, Mukta Murdajaha, having scattered hair, Asamvitaha, naked, Eva, just, Vichachara, traveled. Translation. Actually, Lord Rishabhadev had no material body, but due to Yoga Maya, he considered his body material, and therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka, and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest, naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. We'll also take the next verse because there is no purport to this verse. Verse 8. Atas samira vega viduta venu vikarshana jato gradavanala stadavanam ali lehyana sahadena dadaha. Atas thereafter, samira vega, by the force of the wind, viduta, tossed about, venu of bamboos, vikarshana, by the rubbing, jata, produced, ugra, fierce, davanala, a forest fire, tat, that, one forest near Kutakachalaha, Alelihanaha, devouring all around, Saha with Tena, that body, Dadaha, burned to ashes. Translation. While he was wandering about a wild forest fire began. This fire, caused by the friction of the bamboos, which were being blown by the wind, in that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhadev were burned to ashes. Quote. Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals, but Lord Rishabhadev was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhadev is the super soul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul is never burned by fire. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Adhayoyam. The soul is never burned by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhadev's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material engagement. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే పాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. వన్స్ అగైన్ మై డీప్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ టు ద డివోటీస్ దట్ అరేంజ్ దిస్ Bhagavatam classes and the whole morning program, and thank you for inviting me, Shyamgauri Mataji and Priti Vilasini Mataji and all the others that are putting so much effort to bring together the devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, because just by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam our bhakti will become very steady. And this is an experience that we all tangibly feel, that when we are hearing regularly, then our sadhana and our mind is also very steady. But the moment we somehow neglect to hear from the devotees, then our mind starts to get distracted from to all places away from Krishna consciousness. So therefore, hearing is a very, very important element. Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, is the most important aspects of the sadhana bhakti. And recently, we all went through this deep separation of His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu from all of us. And the whole world of ISKCON was very much saddened. I don't think there is any devotee that has not been touched by him personally by his hands. When we go in front of Narasimhadev, he puts the shelter of Narasimhadev on all of us. So he has personally touched all the devotees. Sometimes in our temple Chopati, there are two services that are quite sought after by those devotees that want to serve all the devotees. One is the in the Guru Puja line, the Shatari or the Charnamrit, when we give, that you are able to serve everyone, you are able to touch everyone, you are able to talk to everyone. And previously, when we had this system of one temple commander that was overseeing everything, that was the way he used to take attendance. That was, he used to stand there giving the shatarit on everyone, and all the and that way he used to come personally close to. So he that was the only time where everybody went to him. Otherwise, usually temple commander or a manager means everybody wants to run him. So he used to hold this shatari, our Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, Brahmachari, senior Brahmachari in Chopati. And then all of us had to go to him to take the blessings of the Lord. And and one of the symptoms of the blessings of the Lord is that you get service. And then, you know, for that day, he used to remind all the devotees, as he is putting the shatari on us, He used to remind us, okay, today you have 3 p.m. Fruit service, or you have 6 p.m. Backup, or 7 p.m. Aarti, or tomorrow morning's Mangal Aarti, whatever. So it was very symbolic that the way to get blessings is actually to serve the Lord. And that's why in the Gita, in the end, towards the end of the Gita, when Krishna is describing who can understand this message, he uses that one who is not a devotee, and Krishna defines who is a devotee. Na ashru shusave, one who has not rendered humble service. And that's one of the trainings that we get in MH devotees, that to render humble service. So Pankajagri Prabhu obviously was not a temple commander telling all, but he used to do so joyfully, and we all were eager to get those blessings. But after that, one of the most striking things was that Pankajagri Prabhu and Janani Vastu, they used to come and sit in the class, Bhagavatam class at Mayapur. Later, it became two classes. One was English class and another was Bengali class. Someone's mic is on. I request everyone to switch off the mic. Okay. So, even when there was the Bengali class that was happening, his guest Pankajagri Prabhu and Janani Vastu Prabhu used to go and sit in the class with their actual the Bhagavatam and the book stand. And whenever I visited Mayapur, that was a constant sight. So apart from being in the altar giving the blessings, and apparently Pujari gets also a lot of is in the limelight. But just after that, although they have served since whole say maybe 3 a.m. they used to make a point to sit in the class and hear the class. And then once some devotee had told him that, Prabhuji, today the Bhagavatam class was very boring. And then Pankajagri Prabhu, he said that, I don't know whether it was boring for you or not, but in my life, I've never heard a boring Bhagavatam class. And which is a very big statement to say that you have never heard a boring Bhagavatam class. We all get bored by the same speaker, by the same content, by the same story. And we want newer and newer types and varieties. And what he is relishing is the message of Krishna. And he's able to see even a new devotee speaking a Bengal, unknown language is being spoken, but the message of Bhagavatam is powerful, and therefore it's a very important practice that we should not we should not let go of, to hear the Bhagavatam class every day in the morning or whenever we can. So thank you, the devotees, for helping all of us to do this. Sometimes when during this time when I am free, I do log in and hear. Yesterday, I think Hari Parshad, who day before yesterday or yesterday was giving the class. I was listening for some time before I had to go for a meeting. So other than importance of hearing, let's come to today's verse. I'll again read the translation of both the verses. Actually, Lord Rishabhdev had no material body, but due to Yoga Maya, he considered his body material. And therefore, because he played like an ordinary human being, he gave the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle, he began to wander all over the world. While traveling, he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. Now here, Venka is the same place which we today known as Tirupati. Konka is the Konkan belt, and Venka is the Venkatachala hills, Venkatesh or Venkatachalapati, Lord Balaji is glorified by this name, Venka, Venkatachalapati, and Kutaka. Kutaka is near again in Karnataka, near Kollur. A series of mountains, and he had no plan to travel this way because if you see Konka is the Konkan belt, which is near the ocean, and Venka is almost towards the eastern side. It's in the middle, and then he again goes back to Kutaka, which is again towards the Karnataka, because Venkatachala hills are in Andhra Pradesh and Konka is in say Maharashtra or Goa. Lord Rishabhdev, He traveled from Maharashtra, Konkan belt, Goa, to Tirupati. And then from Tirupati, he went to Kutaka again, back to Kollur, or which is in Karnataka, back to Kollur. So from Maharashtra to AP to Karnataka. And it, he had no plan to Yadrichaya, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. Now, some of you that might be new to the story of Rishabhdev, if you just hear this section as the last line seems to be like a madman who places stones in your mouth. Even if small stone comes in our rice or in our wheat, we immediately stop eating and we remove that stone. And but here he was voluntarily putting stones in his mouth. And Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur says he was doing this so that his mouth doesn't speak any nonsense, or it is not engaged. He wanted to restrict his speaking. So therefore he was doing this. And naked and not at all caring for his hair. May seem like a hippie or somebody who is a part of the the Burning Man festival or the Rainbow festival that happens in United States, or the Woodstock festival that happens in Europe, like naked, no care for the hair, but there is no element of sexual involvement. He was totally detached. He was just wandering as per his desire, because he is the Lord himself. And then the second verse is, while he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of the bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burned to ashes. Srila Prabhupada mentions that even Shukadev Goswami, as he is describing the activities of Rishabhdev, again and again, that he is the Lord himself, Bhagavan. Otherwise, we may misunderstand what is this activities that the Lord is doing. Very inconceivable, something that Lord comes to this world to establish the proper way to live in this world. And here he is just roaming unbounded in the forest, and then even if the forest fire catches up, it seems to be total madness. But there is a very wonderful purpose for which the Lord does these activities. And every incarnation of the Lord comes for a purpose. And if the purpose is not known, if the purport of the avatar is not known, then we will misunderstand the Lord's pastimes. Recently, I was speaking in another class that once a Britisher, he was journaling about India. And as he was journaling about India, he came to a riverbank. And when he came to this riverbank, he saw that on the riverbank, something very amusing. And he wrote in the journal about the unintelligent activities of the Indians. And what did he write? That these people, these Indians are so foolish that they are trying to break a rock with a cloth. Because he saw a scene where the washermen were beating the cloths, the sari or the dhoti on the rock. So his understanding was that they are trying to break the rock. But any one of us who most devotees are here from India, we know that the purpose is not to break the rock, but the purpose is to clean that cloth. And he wrote that in London, in UK, We are not so foolish that we'll try to break a rock with a cloth. We use dynamite, we use hammers and chisels to break the rock. But these guys are so foolish that they are trying to break the rock with a cloth. And more foolish is that they are constantly changing cloths. That, okay, they tried to break with one cloth, it didn't work. They took up another cloth, and then they are again beating the rock. Which is foolishness, double foolishness. And in this way, he wrote about the foolish activities of the Indians in his journal. And who is foolish? Is the washerman who is washing the cloths is foolish? Or is the person who is not able to understand the activities that the washerman is doing is foolish? Obviously, the Britisher who didn't understand why it is being done and what is being done. So same way, every avatar has a particular purpose, has a particular mission for which they come. And without understanding the mission of the Lord, when we just try to judge the activities, and then we will get mistaken. We may also think this is completely not right to be done. And same way, Lord Rishabhdev has come to this world to set two examples very strongly about our life. And that is, one is to live well. He had conquered almost the entire globe, was under his rule. He was a great king. He had 100 children. He had 10 children, out of which Bharat Maharaj was the eldest, and he further took that example that his father set, Rishabhdev set, and then he ruled so well that India's name till today is called as Bharat, after him, because of that country that was ruled by the great king Bharat Maharaj. And he just didn't live well. He just didn't acquire land, positions, and property, and all this well in his life. But he also showed us how to live well. So living well is important, and living well is also important. Sometimes we only know how to get into the chakra vyuha. How to get into our businesses, our families, our different material environments. But we don't know, and we get stuck in that situation. We get attached in that situation. We just don't know how to get out. Just like Abhimanyu, he only knew how to get into the chakra vyuha, and he didn't know how to get out. But still, out of a great desire to serve the Lord, he just got in because that was a need of the hour. And for us, it was not the need of the hour, it is the desire of the hour, that we have a desire to want this or that. We get into situations, things. It is said the four things that we get into: one is people, another is objects, another is positions, and another is situations. And once we bond with someone, once we make a relation with someone, there is either a lot of attraction that builds up, or there is a lot of hate that builds up. So even if he leaves someone, we either leave painfully or joyfully. Like once a man, his wife had left him. And then he was calling his wife's home almost every day. And the only thing that the wife used to say is that, I'm not going to come back. And then one day she asked him, why do you call me? I'm telling you every day that I'm not going to come back. Why are you calling me every day? And he said that, ye sunke bahut accha lagta hai. That it gives me great joy in hearing that you're not going to come back. So sometimes we have a very troublesome situation, troublesome person. And if he leaves us, alone or away from us, we feel very joyful. But that is because of some kind of anguish that person has created. Out of the trouble, And Krishna explains this in the 18th chapter, that dukkha, that if somebody leaves their activities, leaves their duties, because they are sources of trouble, or kaya klesha bhayat tyajet, or because of it is causing inconvenience to one's body. So therefore, you want to, let's say, join temple, you want to give up your family. That is not how to live well, because Krishna says in the 18th chapter, he says, na tyaga phalam labet. Such a person who leaves out of a grudge or out of immaturity his duties, he doesn't get the results of the tyaga. He doesn't get the results of the renunciation, because his mind is still attached to those things, and aversion is only the other side of attachment. And so therefore, the purpose of life is twofold. One is art of living. Art of living is how we can accumulate different things in the service of the Lord, or to satisfy different needs that we have. And then to burn those things in yajna. Just like in the yajna, the first thing is to collect all the ingredients. And anyone of you that has done a yajna or arranged an yajna, it's quite a headache that the pujari wants til of this color and so many ingredients. And nowadays there are these puja shops where you get all at once. But if you don't have such a puja shop near your house, then to procure all this, or nowadays what we tell is, we tell the pujari only, I will give you the money, you only get whatever ingredients are needed. And of course, he will charge a little more than what we will get those in the market. So in the yajna, we acquire all the ingredients that are possible in our in our capacity. And once we acquire everything possible in our capacity, we just don't keep that with ourselves. We offer that into the fire, into the mouth of Lord Vishnu, saying that Swaha Krishna idam Krishnaya idam namama. O Lord Krishna, this actually belongs not to me but to you. So somebody may say, if everything already belongs to Krishna, why did you make the trouble to acquire it? And then why are you once you acquired, why are you disowning it, or why are you burning it away? And the whole process in this, just like I gave the example of the dhobi, is vidu noti surhasata. The whole purpose in living our life, or living our whatever we have at the right time, is only to purify our existence. That's why Krishna says, yajna dana tapa karma na tyajet. One should not give up, even because they are purifying pavanani manishana. They purify even the great souls. And so some of us, we are very inclined to detachment, that we just don't want to achieve our full potential with whatever capacities we have. We may have good strength, we may have good intelligence, we have good capacity, but out of fear of getting attached, we don't even use those capacities to acquire all the ingredients for the yajna. So we try to do a very small yajna because there is not much trouble in acquiring. And then there are some of us who are shopaholics, that we are so busy and interested in acquiring positions, objects, relationships, building our network so much, that there is hardly any thought of actually using all this in the yajna to offer it to Krishna. So we either can get too much into acquiring, or into just, okay, everything is ultimately going to go away, so why acquire so much? Because you have to anyway give it up. And both these extremes are not proper. According to one's capacity, according to one's the gifts that God has given you, either wealth or intelligence, whatever has been given you, if you don't utilize, if you don't bring it up to its full potential, then you are not truly honoring the gift that has been given to you. If somebody gives you a gift, say a small plant, and then what do? You don't water it, you just neglect it. Then the plant doesn't grow. But true gratitude of giving that, of the person gives you that small plant, is that you take care of it so nicely that it actually grows into its full potential. And once it grows into full potential, then you understand that the gift is something that's giving you shelter, and it's going to give your children shelter and for generations to come. So Krishna has given all of us different gifts, and we need to use them. We need to bring that to full completion, and that's what he's endeavoring, to become the best version of ourselves. And once we become the best version of ourselves, we don't just keep that with us. And once we have the best garland that we can make, then we take that to Krishna and offer it to him. We don't want to put that on ourselves. We want to give that to Krishna. And that's the whole concept of yajna, sankirtan yajna, or any yajna, that we use our full voice to speak the holy name, and we use our full ears to hear the holy name. And Rishabhdev is teaching us both these principles, the art of living and the art of leaving. And art of living is a very important component in the art of living also. It's not just, okay, something that happens later, but because you know that you have to leave, you understand that I should leave the world in such a way that it's a better place for someone else to live later. Just like now, that we shouldn't borrow the earth tomorrow, today, and leave the future generations lack of any of the capacities that are there. Currently, I am little away from the temple in Hyderabad, in one location, just taking some rest. And here there are a lot of trees. And every morning, I see so many varieties of flowers that grow, maybe 12, 13 varieties, and even more. And when I pluck them to make garlands or something, it just amazes me that nature is just bountifully giving so many things in Lord's service. But because we are living in cities or in places, I know some temples that pay a humongous amount of money just to get some few flowers that to same kind of variety, and that too doesn't have much smell. And we have gone away from the Lord so much that something that is so naturally available has become so difficult for the next generation. Like just with me, that when I'm in the villages or in places like this, something so naturally available, when I go to Bombay, they are very difficult to get. So we should not live in this world that we destroy the future of our next generation. Or we live like a miser, that we don't utilize anything. Because just like flowers, if you pluck it immaturely, they will not bloom. If you pluck it late, they will also fade away. They will not long last. They have to be plucked at the right time. Same way, so Rishabhdev, by showing this example of renunciation, the children, they understand that everything that the parents are doing is for others' welfare. If it was for them, they would have just kept that with themselves. But when they see the renunciation in the elders, that they are not attached to, Rishabhdev is leaving everything physically. But with generations that are now, it need not be that we are leaving physically, but at least internally, we start to give everything and reduce our involvement with the material things, so that we can focus more and more in Krishna consciousness. So that was the Vanaprastha stage, is where at the age of 50, 50 in Hindi is called as Pachpan, and 51 is called as Ekkavan. So one devotee says Pachpan, Pachna is to digest. So one, now that you know you have digested properly, now Ekkavan is okay. Now whatever is remaining is actually stool, is actually going to will become a toxic for you. So now Ekkavan means to now go to Vana, Akele, or just with your spouse, just go to the forest. And that example of Rishabdev is something that we need to understand, that that how he ruled this world and how at the right time, because he was not attached to being the controller, being the enjoyer, he just left everything. And same way his child Bharat Maharaj also at the right time, once the children were capable, he just gave everything. And as you are ruling, if there is some trouble that comes, you are not so much troubled by the situation. At our temple, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Rishikesh Mafatlal, long time back, he was facing some kind of financial trouble. So when he was facing this trouble, he was a bit concerned and bothered. So he came to His Holiness Radhana Swami, and he was telling that how somebody is trying to cheat him, and how there is crores of rupees at loss. And once Maharaj heard all that, he told him that, okay, I pray that, you know, all your troubles go away and your business again booms and becomes nice. And also know that if in case your business goes into loss or something, there is a locker waiting for you in the ashram. And you can come and stay with us happily. And then immediately he reflected that I am bothered about that, some crores, some money is going to get lost. But here I see some these brahmacharis or these devotees that literally don't have any money with them, but they are so joyful. So that gave him that detachment from anxiety, from overthinking, to be able to solve that matter properly. So when we identify so much with our duties that we are not even able to perform them properly, just like a student, when he is over fixated on him getting the marks, his worry eats up his capacity to even study properly. So therefore, the living well and living well are very much interconnected. And if we have the proper understanding, as we are living in this world, we'll also not get attached to these things, and we'll be able to leave at the right time, at least internally. And so therefore, there is a saying that let go and let Krishna take care, let God take care. And there are some things which to let go, we should be conscious that are we letting go of these things. And these are the things that if I'm still attached to, then I'll not be able to go to the spiritual world immediately. Prabhupada sometimes used to say that if today Vaikuntha airplane comes and if it invites you to come to the spiritual world, some of us may think, okay, yes, I'll immediately go. But most of us will not be able to go. You may jump on the plane, but as you're going, you will see different heavenly planets and these temptations, because the route is through the market. They don't take you on a ring road. They actually take you through the city, through the every nook and corner of this universe. And they check, are you still attached? Are you still hating? So if there is iota of hate or attachment to for any of the thing that is present in this universe, then we are immediately deported from the plane. So therefore, it's not just okay we have to just catch the plane, but to stay on the plane is also a tough task. And the training is how we live in this world in the proper spirit, which is what Rishabdev is teaching by his example of giving up everything and just depending fully on Krishna. And if by Krishna's grace, if there is a forest fire, then he didn't even mind to run away from that. He accepted that as the will of the Lord. And that was towards the end of his life. Now, sometimes we are, especially now in COVID times, so many devotees, so many people are becoming poverty, are going into poverty because of the heavy bills that these hospitals are charging. 30 lakhs, 40 lakhs for 20 days of stay in ICU. And it's a sad situation that, you know, hospitals are charging this much. And there is a statistic that 80% of the money that people earn, they spend in the last 3 years of their life trying to save their life. And which is true to some extent that we should put endeavor to save our life. But at the end of it, if there is over endeavor to do that and ruin everything for the next generations, that should also be something to be considered. That especially from the person point of view, one who is going through. Of course, this is a very subjective matter, but something that makes me think that how will I respond if I am in such a situation? And I really don't know, but I'm trying to be in the proper situation as per the scriptures. So one thing, so there are 14 things that we should try to let go, which I'll end today's discussion of this verse. One is letting go of the desire to always write. Some of us are, you know, always feel that I am right in the house. Always it happens that whatever the way I think, the way the house arrangement should be, the way I plan, the way I do things, that I am the right, and we try to correct everyone else that, or we don't accept corrections. And this, and in the name of being right, we forget to be kind. And sometimes, you know, old people, they continue to stay in the house because they want to set everything right. And just you see things are not going right, and they continue to stay. At least in some years, my children will learn. So letting go of the desire to be always right. And you may not be actually right all the time. And more important than being right is actually being kind, because that's what is more important for the next generation to understand, to learn an example of kindness from us. Second is the letting go of the need to control. And this also is very strongly with us, that all of us, especially today, nowadays with the gadgets around us, Amazon available at our fingertips, we can control so many things. So as we grow old, the body starts to lose out of control, situation starts to lose out of control. So to be able to consciously let go of that control, as one of our senior devotees says, that if you don't become irrelevant voluntarily, you will be made irrelevant by the society, by the family. But when we voluntarily play the role of irrelevance, that you all decide, it's not me who is controlling everything, then we'll be actually respected. And because of the detachment, the next generations will actually want to hear from us. But then when we are wanting to control even at the last fag end of our life everything, then we're not going to go back to the spiritual world. Letting go of the blaming game, that tendency to blame someone or other for our situation, for our troubles, and this will also not allow us to go to the spiritual world. Letting go of the degrading self-talk, you know, demeaning oneself, always having this negative self-talk about situations or about others. We should also try to get rid of this. And letting go of complaining, constantly complaining about things, people, to let go of that. So it's not just letting go of things, going to the forest or going wherever you are, you'll start to complain. Right? That's your nature. You'll start to complain. Therefore, in Kartikeya, sometimes devotees take this vow that for this 1 month, I'll not complain about anything. And then they go to offer lamp at the Krishna Balaram temple, and the line, somebody's cutting the line. And then immediately you kind of blame that person or complain to the management, hey, you are not properly screening here, somebody is cutting the line. So these habits are most very strongly rooted in us, and we should work to get rid of this. Letting go of criticism, again, a similar thing. Being critical of people around us or Krishna. Letting go of the urge to impress others. There is also this urge that I will show to devotees how nice I am. And this urge to impress others is also something that will keep us glowed. What will people say? Letting go of resisting change. Once we give up the range to someone else, then they'll do things in a different way. And the world will not always work the way we want. And be willing to resist, and letting go of that resisting of that change is something we need to work on. Letting go of labeling, that we tend to label people or places, that this is a, say, chakra building is not nice in Mayapur, or say this devotee is an angry devotee, this Mataji is very selfish. We tend to label people. But in some situation, they might have acted that way, but that doesn't mean that that is their definition. So when we define someone and put in a box, or when we put ourselves in a box that I am not a cook, or I am a singer, so either not or fur, when we label ourselves, then we limit our potential to serve, and we also limit others' potential to serve. So to letting go of this labeling and letting go of our fears. We are all filled with so many fears. What will happen this way, that way? Who will take care of my family? Who will take care of this or that? So I'm not saying that we have to do this, all this immediately, but internally this work has to keep happening as we are acquiring. Letting go of the excuses that we tend to give. Why I'm not practicing Krishna consciousness? Why I'm not chanting properly? Why I'm not... So many excuses we can keep giving. As they say, you can either take action or give excuse. And then, all this becomes a baggage. And with this heavy baggage, we cannot fly. We cannot, we'll be dragged down. Letting go of the past, so many grudges about the past or the things that we have done about our achievements. We all carry that. This is my identity as a student, say, as of IIT Bombay or whatever. And we carry these prides of our past or the shame of our past. Let go of that. Letting go of the attachments that we have. And finally, letting go of living up to others' expectations, that we are constantly trying to impress others, or others' expectations. We are trying to mold our life rather than saying, how can I naturally grow? And what can I do properly to serve the devotees? So when we work on these 14 let goes and let God, let Krishna take care. And so that's something about the art of leaving that I wanted to just share, apart from both these dynamics that Rishabh Dev is teaching through his wonderful pastimes. With this, I will conclude today's session. And if there are any questions or comments that devotees have, more than welcome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and sharing about the starting. You have started with the Panchagani Prabhuji's things and everything, and let go things and art of living, sharing all those points. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So I request devotees to raise the hands. So Meena Mataji have raised the hands. You can please go ahead with your questions, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. So for the detachment process, is there a process, or we can just make up our mind and start detaching from materialistic things slowly? Or is there a process, Prabhuji? Like, do we have to do anything in front of Lord Krishna?
every situation in our life is just like for a rocket. It has multiple stages at which it launches. So when it launches from the ground, it carries a lot of fuel in different its pockets. But at a stage when that fuel is over, then that empty shell does serves no purpose, and therefore for the rocket to actually go even further, it has to minimize its weight, and then only it can propel further. So same way, if it's brahmachari life that has a particular purpose, if it's grihastha life it has a purpose, and even in that, our job, our position as a father or of a teenager, the role, every role that we play, everything has a purpose. And are we serving the purpose of the role, or are we enjoying that role? Are we controlling that role? That's the question to be asked. And the moment we start to see that my role of service is over in this situation, now it's only a burden that I'm carrying, burden of this position, then that's the time. And the whole criteria that Prabhupada mentioned is that utility is the principle. That is this helping me to serve Krishna? Then yes, let me utilize it. If it is not, then it's time to give it up. And for this, and at the practical level, we need guidance of senior devotees. We need the guidance of spiritual master. But four regulative principles are something that Prabhupada told everyone to do. And then, especially for householders, once the children are at a capable age, they can take care more or less to focus more on Krishna consciousness and minimize their social involvement and the involvement in their house, in the household affairs, and use their time and energy in not controlling children, but in actually setting the right example of what is the purpose of all this. For them and for also for us.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Great answer.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Now I request Suresh Prabhuji. You can please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. We had a lot of things which we have to let go. Really, we came to know. My question is, Prabhuji, that during the course of discussion, you were saying that, you know, we have to work to the best of the potential, the gift which has been given by the Lord. And once if we start doing that and our business starts flourishing, we automatically get attached to it. And, you know, that detachment becomes extremely, extremely very difficult. Like probably we don't have the knowledge to get out of that. And so what is the process for a grihastha who is in the business and flourishing and with both this kind of a things, how should we get detached?
Krishna recommends, just like he says in the Gita, that yajna dana tapa karma, that in your life, that never neglect to do these three things regularly, and always keep time to do yajna, that is, you know, chanting of the holy names, sacrificing something or other for serving the Lord. Dana is charity, helping other people, and tapa, you know, minimizing and being self-control, minimizing your sense gratification. And if these three things you are regularly doing, say Ekadashi is there, following Ekadashi, chanting is there, helping in some of the temples projects or whatever. When you are doing these three things regularly, then you will start to experience the joy of that is there in the spiritual activities, and that was the purpose for which the brahmachari life was there before somebody entered into grihastha life. Because once they get a taste of simple life, then they know that if all that this doesn't work, then I should not be anxious. I can still live in the forest. I can still live there. But because we have not lived in the forest, we have not lived simply, we have only just lived in our houses. So it becomes very difficult for us, because we never have an idea of what it means to live in, say, somebody who has not lived in India. So they'll always fear if once they go, after they have grown up. But those of us who had grown up in India, it's not a big task for us to come back to India and, you know, settle back in India. But those children that never grown up in India, it's for them, it's like day and night difference. So it becomes impossible for them. So that's the reason why in the initial days, brahmachari training for both for girls and boys is needed. And then once they get the taste of that, then in their grihastha life, they continue to know the benefit of that. They keep doing yajna dana tapa karma. At the right time, they can give up. But now with all of us, we didn't experience that. So at least now we can make our house into an ashram. That's why grihastha is also called as grihastha ashram. That we bring the principles of simplicity even to our life of minimalism. Whatever is actually needed for our house to serve its purpose, let's keep it. Let not this house made into a museum for others to get impressed. And let not me, my life be a museum for others to get impressed. Be actually a place of a temple where others can get inspired. So when we have that and have the guidance of seniors, see others, how they are doing it. Association is a place important factor for us to keep going. If everybody else is doing around us Ekadashi, it becomes easy. So in regards to business, as long as it's not eating up your sadhana, it's not eating up your sanity in terms of peace and other things, as much in your capacity, Krishna is able to, you are able to grow it. But then once your japa time is there, your sadhana time is there, understand that's what is the, that cannot be compromised. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for wonderful explanation, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for so beautiful answer. Are there any other devotees who would like to, who have any other questions or realizations to Prabhuji? You can raise your hands or you can unmute yourself. Okay. If nobody have any other questions or realizations, we can end the call here.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandot Pranam, Goshti Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very nice presentation as always. I like the point when you said of the washing clothes, it's means somebody can say they're breaking the can say permission the Jain people, they took it the wrong way. So I understood very nicely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shambhavari Mataji, and all the devotees for giving me this opportunity to share something and hopefully something helpful. So seek all of your blessings. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much.
Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class.
Thank you.
Our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vansha Kalpataru. Krupa Sindhu Vyai Vasya. Patitanam Pavanibhyo
Vaishnavibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo
Namah. Ananta Koti
Vaishnavibhyo.
Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Ki Jai.
Jai Braj Mohandas Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Ki Jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Krishna.